lots and lots of people enjoyed it as well. Went, good guy, and he is. We live in a world now where everything changes. Before, you'd get in trouble, especially politically, if you wrote a nasty letter to the newspaper. These days, it's all about social media, Facebook and Twitter, Twitter particularly. Yet again, there is a national news story broken this week about Brentwood's David Bishop, a Conservative candidate, who has tweeted homophobic and anti-Islamic views on Twitter. Since he's done that, he has resigned, and the Conservatives have put out a statement saying that they accepted his resignation and condemn everything he says, etc. The Conservative Party was invited onto this programme, but we've had no reply so far on that. But I'm joined in the studio by Russell Quirk, of course, from Brentwood First. Good morning, Russell.
Hello, Mike.
Right,
how are you?
Let's start with this story then, because we're going to work through basically what's local news at the moment, and obviously May 22nd coming up. But just quickly dealing with David Bishop, what was your take on that?
Yeah, it's a pretty disgraceful affair, isn't it, really? And I suppose up until this week, it's been the confine of UKIP, isn't it? UKIP seems to be getting caught out almost on a daily basis, where they're tweeting things that are distasteful and vile. And of course, now locally, I think we have the rather unfortunate accolade now of it being a Conservative that seems to have rather extreme right-wing views. So it's very distasteful indeed. And of course, unfortunately, for all of us, I think including David Bishop, who's obviously, I'm sure, very embarrassed by this, his name has to stay on the ballot paper, of course, by way of election law.
They can't withdraw that, obviously.
No, it's too late, so he has to stay. But I think he has said very clearly, look, don't vote for me. I think anybody that does would, would also be rather open to scrutiny, wouldn't they?
Yeah, okay. I mean, you just raised a point there that... sorry, I lost my thread there completely.
Sorry, my fault. Sorry, Mike.
Well, this is a really good question.
Just it's completely... me waffling on a tangent, isn't it? But, no. What was it about the UKIP thing?
Yeah, about the UKIP thing that you're tarring everybody with the same brush. There's a great deal. Somebody put on Facebook yesterday about David Bishop that all Conservatives must be homophobic and anti-Islamic, which is ridiculous. You know, and with UKIP, you've got, I don't know, 300-400 candidates standing next week.
Yeah.
Now, 400 of them might be absolutely normal, good people, and if you've got three or four who are doing this, then it tarnishes the whole party, don't they?
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, it's absolutely not fair to say all Conservatives are homophobic and racist.
No, of course
probably,
not.
It's probably only some of them. But there are, of course, there is a history in Brentwood, as we know, from two or three other Conservatives that have sort of fallen foul of saying the wrong thing. One of them actually is up for election this time as well, but and some of the things that he's said about travellers and all sorts of things have been extremely distasteful. But I suppose the point is that you have, one could argue, more of a propensity towards those extremist sort of undesirable views if you are on the right of the political spectrum. You know, I can't remember the last time that a Liberal Democrat was branded as being a racist, because of course they're centre of the political spectrum. So, you know, whilst it's not fair to say that of course every Conservative is not a racist or a homophobe, but you know, I guess from an ideology point of view, you know, some of them are on the way towards the right of the spectrum.
But do you have any sympathy with this guy? Because you, I mean,
no,
six months ago you sat in the same seat there, apologising for something you'd said in the heat of a moment, and you acknowledged you'd made a mistake. Isn't that what he's done?
No, I don't, because what I said at the time was something where I was comparing Conservative councillors to distasteful members of society,
yes,
and
yeah.
I still stand by that premise. What David Bishop has said, and let's be clear, not just on one tweet, not just on two tweets, there's three or four tweets. There's three or four.
Yeah.
So, you know, I don't have any sympathy for someone that has those extremist and divisive views. No, I don't. And, you know, even one, you know, and bearing in mind there are hundreds and thousands of MPs and councillors across the UK, and 99% of us don't tweet things that are homophobic or racist. So, no, I don't have any sympathy for David at all. As a fella, I met him a number of times. He's not a bad guy to stand and talk to, but obviously I had no idea that these were his views.
Okay. Right, moving on then from David Bishop, because there's nothing else to say about it. The guy's resigned. He's not he is standing, but that's not his fault. He can't withdraw, as you say. Technically, he can't withdraw.
Yeah, I suppose. I mean, we could talk about how the Conservative Party reacted to this, of course.
Okay,
Friday,
well,
which is
they
interesting.
Louise McKinley moved to distance herself from his views. She said, the views expressed on Twitter recently do not reflect the opinions or beliefs held by the Conservative group on Brentwood. What else could she say?
Well, that was 48 hours later. So, yes, of course, she's made a statement that I'm sure has probably been written by a Conservative central office. I'm sure Eric Pickle's staff probably, you know, were busting very, very quickly into Crown Street to pen something appropriate. Not so much Louise McKinley. And, of course, she would distance herself, of course. But John Kerslake, who's also a councillor for Hutton Central and also the chairman of the Brentwood Longford Conservative Association, when he was challenged about this on Friday and Saturday, late Friday, early Saturday, his first reaction, which I've got to say is typical Conservative Brentwood councillor, was, no, David Bishop hasn't done that. He must have been hacked. So rather than saying, my goodness, I need to look into this, rather than investigating it, rather than having an open mind, the natural default position, as it is with the Conservatives in Brentwood, is, no, it can't be us. We've done nothing wrong. How wrong he was.
Okay, all right. Back in a moment. Just play a couple of these and then we'll be back with more.
What's happening in Brentwood? Where are those police vans going? When will those roadworks ever end? Will we ever get a new cinema on that site? Most local news doesn't appear on TV, online, or in the national press. For that, you need a quality local newspaper. The Brentwood Gazette, full of features, stories, events, tweets, listings, and all the things important to you. The Brentwood Gazette is written for Brentwood people and read by 54,000 residents every week. The Brentwood Gazette, for news and views you won't find anywhere else.
It's the 30th anniversary of St Francis Hospice, caring for local people. Now it's time for you to help with the Big Brew. Organise a coffee morning, cheese and wine night, or even a homebrew beer party. It's a great way to raise money. Your Big Brew can be anything you like, and St Francis Hospice has a pack full of goodies to get you started. Call 01708 771 431 or go to sfh.org.uk. Support St Francis Hospice and take time to care for a cuppa.
How good did your last Friday sound? Let me guess. Same old hits over
and over and over.
You missed Phoenix Friday with Papa John's Brentwood. Our Friday night sounded like this. Live performances from Ordinary Noise.
We stayed the very first night.
And For the Love of Bob.
You can go your own way.
Already confirmed for Friday the 30th of May, the voice finalist, Lucy Marie Closier. Friday the 30th of May isn't just a Friday, it's a Phoenix Friday at Old Brentwood's, brought to you by Papa John's, quality pizza for a quality night out.
Community radio for Brentwood and Billericay. This is Phoenix FM.
17 minutes past one. Russell Quirk joins me in the studio. May the 22nd looms very, very quickly. We've had years of Conservative domination in Brentwood. Do you actually really believe that in these local elections coming up that this time the tide is turning?
That's better. Switch me on. I really, really do. It's actually the first time in a decade that it's technically possible and probable, in fact, that the Conservatives can lose power. So they have currently 21 councillors, and the opposition combined have 16. So there's five seats in it, but of course if the Conservatives lose three and they go to the opposition, that's enough to change the balance of power in the council chamber. So yes, I really do. I think, you know, there's one of two things to consider. I think, first of all, the utter vitriol for the current Conservative administration. I mean, from everybody, not just the opposition where you expect it, but, you know, people on Twitter, letters pages of the Gazette, and not just the usual suspects. You know, lots and lots of people that are very, very miffed about lots of things. You know, whether it be potholes, whether it be the William Hunter Way debacle, whether it be the managing director's salary going up 37% while everybody else's salaries at the council was frozen. You know, whether it be the selling off of heritage assets, etc. etc. So there's a real feeling that is very anti-conservative locally. And the other thing is the opposition, and obviously I've been in opposition now as Brentwood First for the last year and a half or so, are absolutely united, and actually not just in terms of being united so that they can get, you know, power, inverted commas. But I think it's fair to say that, you know, if you look at instances like saving the town hall, which of course the opposition did, you know, I led a vote against the Conservative leader to save our town hall from Louise McKinley selling it. And that would not have been possible if it wasn't for Mike the Surf as part of the Labour group, David Kendall and his Liberal Democrat group, etc. So since that time, and then having been part of what they call the Town Hall Delivery Group, which then was put together to deliver the Town Hall solution that we proposed in July 2011, the opposition have worked incredibly well focus just on what's right for Brentwood rather than putting political ideology first, which I think the Conservatives do. So the fact that the opposition's so united, I think, bodes really, really well, both from the perception from the public that they can trust the opposition to run the council, which they absolutely can, but also that it's needed. It's a very, very, I have to say, politically, very, very exciting time. And of course, the elections, I think, as you've alluded to, are on the same day as the European elections, where we have, rightly or wrongly, UKIP have got this resurgence, if you like, of popularity, which is being sort of largely whipped up by the media, it seems. So the Conservatives locally being literally bashed from all angles. So I think it will happen. I really do.
What worries me is that you and I have got a strong interest in politics, and many do, in local politics, should I say. A lot of the voters, though, always confuse, especially when there's going to be more than one vote on various like European elections at all, and they will lump, if they're not happy with the Conservatives or the Labour Party nationally, then that will reflect locally. And they may not have any clue, you know, as long as their bin's emptied once a week, they don't care, you know, or they haven't hit a pothole for a while. I feel almost sorry for local political parties who work really hard during the year and can be just washed aside because somebody's view is only judged nationally.
Yeah, no, and that is a very good point because, yes, it does happen. And I think, you know, that will be one of the reasons that UKIP do well in Brentwood, particularly in the outlying areas, particularly in Hutton, Dollinghurst, Ingatestone, because of that national push. But at the same time, I think, you know, Brentwood is, you know, we're a clever bunch as residents, as an electorate. And I think that's been proven in the past when we had Martin Bell. You know, Martin Bell came along. Nearly beat Eric Pickles. I think Eric only beat him by 2,000 votes as opposed to his normal majority of 18,000. And we've had it with the Liberal Democrats, I've got to say. When in 2009, 2010, 2011, the Liberal Democrats have bucked the trend in Brentwood, where, you know, the Lib Dems, particularly in 2011-12 in the local and the local elections here, have actually done proportionally much better than their national colleagues because, you know, they do stand for good things. They do campaign well locally. So I think most people see that there's a two-tier vote here. And hopefully a lot of people will do one thing nationally because they believe in something nationally, and they'll do something completely different if appropriate locally.
The UKIP vote, which by all barometers at the moment, it seems it's going to be a big vote, UKIP, all from Conservative voters. Is this? I'm going to vote this time, but as a warning, because next time I will vote for Tory, of course, but this is a shot across the bows. Is that what you think is happening?
Yeah, I think UKIP are now not the fourth party, actually. They're the third party, aren't they, of course, nationally, if you believe the polls. And a lot of people are saying that they will win the European election.
How can that be?
Incredible, isn't it?
They've got no MPs at all, though, have they?
No, they haven't.
They've got nothing.
But it's because I think, Mike, they're a protest party, the same as the Liberal Democrats were in 2007, 8, 9, 10.
Yeah.
So I think people are completely disenchanted with the standard, you know, the two traditional parties, Labour and the Conservatives, that they don't trust, they don't believe. We've had the whole MPs expenses thing and so on. And I think people, in fact, ironically, in that vein, you know, will look to other parties because they want to vote, but they don't want to vote for the traditional two.
So
therefore, they look to UKIP to vote. The irony there, of course, is it was UKIP MEPs that the ones were brought to task and indeed imprisoned for expenses fiddling back in 2005, 2006, 2007. So there's a massive irony there.
It's beyond belief, isn't it, really, when you think about it? exactly that. Right, questions coming in on Twitter already. And if you want to, if you can tweet at Phoenix FM, or you can tweet me directly, the Mike A. Jones. I forgot my own name there, so good. I'm question from TTT, whoever that is. Would Russell be able to explain about the sale of Hutton Parish Hall? He was not allowed to at council meeting on the 7th. Thank you. You understand what that means?
I do, yeah. I was stopped, wasn't I? We get stopped a lot by the Conservatives when it comes to sort of standing up and speaking freely, I'm afraid, which is maybe another reason people might not want to vote for them in 17 days' time, 15 days' time. The parish hall was slated for development, and the council chamber were persuaded by Councillor Chris Hossack that it would be a good idea to sell it to the dentist up the road, who, as I understand it, has bought it for the purposes of it being a dentist's. Now, the dentist here, I've got to be clear, hasn't done anything wrong at all. They've apparently bought, exchanged, and completed now on those premises, but have now just put in an application for flats as opposed to a dentist surgery. So, of course, local people, rightly so, are a bit miffed. They thought that the thing was being sold to provide a better clinical facility locally, which is, you know, sorely needed, which is why committee members voted to sell it for that purpose. And now, of course, it won't be a dentist. It's going to be another load of flats. So the tweeter there is right to bring it up, because it's another part of this whole murky thing going on at Brentwood Council, where, you know, you think something's happened and it hasn't. You know, where there's things that aren't quite as accountable and as open and up for scrutiny as perhaps they should be. This is it's a bit of an odd one, that.
Okay, what else is crossing your email? We used to say postbag, we say email box now. What's most people talking about?
Two massive things, Mike. First of all, potholes. You know, we've been campaigning as Brentwood First, even before we were Brentwood First, to try and get the Conservative Council to fix our potholes, whether it be county, whether it be Brentwood, whatever.
Let's get this absolutely clear, because I keep asking this question, I keep forgetting the answer. Who is responsible for potholes in Brentwood? Is it Essex County Council or is it Brentwood Council?
It is Conservative-controlled Essex County Council. But Brentwood Council had a highways facility with a budget of £2.5 million that I'm afraid Louise McKinley let slip away 2 years ago, and County Council took that away, and also then the control of that budget and where it's spent. So up until 2009-10, Brentwood Council had £2.5 million to spend on certain highways matters. Mm. We don't have that autonomy anymore. The other thing, of course, and this is literally what I'm getting most on now, are these streetlights that have been turned off. That the majority of streetlights across Brentwood have been turned off by the council after midnight. And what we're now getting, and of course the Conservatives will say and have said in the chamber, that this is just anecdotal, it's just people whinging, but I'm getting more and more people complain that there's now been a spike in burglaries. So throughout, I mean, Hutton...
Is there facts to back that, though? Are the police telling you, yes, there have been more burglaries in street areas because there are no street lights? Well, is there any actual evidence?
Well, they don't produce the stats that quickly, so we won't know, obviously, until the police can report the stats. But one policeman that we have spoken to, when we mentioned to him about street lights, and actually a resident raised the fact that, of course, when you see someone running away from a car that they've broken into on Hutton Poplars, for instance, or from a house where they've just smashed a window, you know, when the police say, well, can you identify them? Well, no, it was dark. There were no lights. And the police response is, yeah, and this is an exact quote from a police officer at Brentwood. He said, tell us about it. So, you know, from the point of view of this encouraging criminal activity, it's absolutely a given that it is. And from the point of view of actually then preventing the culprit, you know, the culprits being brought to account, it's also providing a problem there. So, and the other outrageous thing is, it only saves Essex County Council by turning off these streetlights in Brentwood, £63,000 a year. That's it. Do you know how much it costs to turn them off in terms of putting all the little bits on all the streetlights across Essex?
No, I don't.
Let me tell you, because I do know the answer.
You want to tell me,
go on. Yeah, I'm going to have to tell you. So to actually transform the lights
into... Put the gubbins on it,
The times were £6 million.
£6 million, so...
That works well, doesn't it?
Yeah, so you've got a lot of... it's going to take a long time, really. Right, another question coming in. The Gazette has said that Hutton East polling station is at Hutton Parish Hall. Can you mention that it's Willowbrook School? All right, okay. So the Hutton East polling station is at the Hutton Parish Hall.
It's an important polling station.
That doesn't make sense.
Vote Andrea Bowes in Hutton East, by the way.
It's Andrea Bowes, put it in.
Oh, is she?
Yes.
It's coming, yeah.
So the Gazette have got it wrong, have they?
Yeah, it's wrong with the Gazette. It's listed as Hutton Parish Hall, but it's actually at Willowbrook School. Right, thank you very much. Thank you. Tweets flying in left, right and centre. We're going to just quickly break for the... hang on, just do a quick record, national news, and then come back to you.
Don't you ever stop being dandy, showing me your handsome.
Headlines first for your area. This is Phoenix FM.
These are the top stories at 1:30. Police are investigating whether an armed robbery at a building society in Sunbury in Surrey this morning is linked to the ongoing search for a prisoner who's gone on the run. Michael Wheatley, known as Skullcracker, was serving 13 life sentences for armed robbery where he absconded from an open prison in Kent. Nigerian police are stepping up efforts to help more than 200 kidnapped schoolgirls with the offer of a £180,000 reward. The girls were snatched by Islamist gunmen over 3 weeks ago. Three men have been jailed for life for the murder of a 16-year-old schoolboy in East London last year. Aminur Nadi Khan, Mashadar Rahman and Ali Akbar Chowdhury will serve a minimum of 23 years behind bars. The Prime Minister has refused to confirm whether he'll apply a public interest test in what could be the biggest ever takeover of a British firm. American drugs giant Pfizer want to buy AstraZeneca for £63 billion. And Katie Price has said on Twitter that she's divorcing her third husband. The model married Kieran Haler at the start of 2013. We'll have all these stories in full at the top of the hour.
This is Phoenix FM.
It is 1:23 with Mike Russell's in the studio. The tweets are flying in. Lisa JC tweets that she totally agrees about the comment that I made about public being ignorant on who to vote for locally, so don't bother to vote. Russell, was the Hutton Community Centre worth the £200,000 that the council is spending on it? Was the EBGC offer a better option?
Yes. I think the Hutton Community Centre's worth spending money on. The problem is that the council, Louise McKinley, has made a mistake in the money that she's allocated. And there's two issues here. One is that it's not enough money to make sure that the centre itself is fit for purpose. The roofing contractor, funnily enough, said to me just 4 or 5 weeks ago, as he was patching it up, he said, these were his words, this won't last. Well, that's not a particularly good advert, is it, for what's happened? I think the other issue is there are some councillors across this chamber, obviously not necessarily Hutton councillors, that have said, well, you know, the council keeps saying that they haven't got any money for anything, but all of a sudden a rabbit was pulled out of the hat in the budget last year, whereby £160,000 plus all the overspend has somehow been found. It just so happens that the Hutton Community Centre, of course, it's actually my ward, but it's in a ward that's inhabited by Louise McKinley, the council leader. So there's some issues there that really need to be fleshed out. And my big concern is that whilst I want to deliver a community centre for the community, it needs to last and it needs to be fit for purpose. And I'm worried that it won't be.
Okay, Mount Nessing Roundabout. There's a call for land near the A12 to be used for homes, not industry. This is the McDonald's roundabout, isn't it?
The other side of McDonald's.
Yeah, the other side of McDonald's. That piece of land there, as you go off to Wash Road, what's that about?
Yeah, there's a big history to that. It used to be a scrapyard. I think it was turned down for planning many, many years ago and then went to the Secretary of State before Eric Pickle's time actually to be approved for hotel use, if you remember. So it was going to be a huge, great hotel, restaurants and so on. That has never happened for one reason and another. And I know one of my colleagues, Phil Baker, actually is in the Gazette today saying that, look, you know, this is a 6-acre site. I mean, that's huge for housing. Mm. So rather than thinking about offices and industrial units, bearing in mind half the industrial units in Brentwood are empty anyway, if we've got this huge call on housing, you know, and obviously we all agree that we've got to build more housing, let's build there instead of dumping 1,500 houses on the poor people of West Horndon. When I say the poor people, I mean the put-on people rather than financially poor, but the hard-pressed people of Horndon that are about to have their village quadrupled in size and blighted because the Conservatives seem to be insistent on sticking all these houses in the Greenbelt.
But if you put houses there, then you've got to have the services to match them, haven't you? You've got to have transport links. So obviously, you've got the A12, but for people who haven't got cars, is there a bus service there? Is there doctor surgeries?
But there can be. So what you have these, what are called Section 106 agreements, which are now being taken over covered by the community infrastructure levy, which means that you say to a developer, particularly on a site that size, if he wants to build, let's say, 500 houses, if you look at a community infrastructure levy of, let's say, £10,000 per property, that's an awful lot of money to provide bus stops, doctor surgeries, and so on. So it would work. And of course, that site is appropriate because it's brownfield, it's not greenfield. Whereas in West Horndon, it's greenbelt, and it's not appropriate to put so many houses there.
Okay. Daddy's in the paper again, isn't he? He's got his picture in the paper this week. This time, we're talking about call centre staff accused of being bad neighbours. What is that about?
Well, yeah, I suppose where I take my political hat off, this is our office. Obviously, I founded, I run a business called eMove, eMove.co.uk, EMOOV.co.uk. We're low-cost online estate agents, and we have premises at New North House on the corner of Ongar Road and North Road. Lovely place, all nicely refurbished inside until January, where, let us just say, that a new firm rocked up with about 50 call centre staff, who I have to say, if anybody watches the BBC programme, The Call Centre, they're nothing like as nice, friendly, and jovial as that lot. And they've brought down the tone of the building. And the Gazette have had loads of complaints from people that also share office space there and residents of Highland Avenue and Burlham Road that are sick to death of the foul language, the litter, and let's just say the inappropriate behaviour that many have witnessed. And it doesn't seem that to date anybody, including the council and the management company, seem to want to do anything about it. So the Gazette reported on it today. And yes, of course, I was asked for a comment and was, as ever, only too happy to oblige.
Okay. Right, let's go back, because I know you're short of time. You're a very busy man. let's go back to you wanted to talk about candidates. Now, you're not standing yourself this time. You're not up, are you?
I'm up next year.
That's another thing, you see, which annoys me. Not that, not you personally. I don't understand. I had this argument in Thurrock as well. Why we've got double the elections, double the cost. Why aren't you? I can see the reason that if you all in power now, so there's 40 of you in power, and you all get kicked out, and you're going to have 40 brand new people who haven't got a clue what they're doing. Yeah. That's one reason.
Yeah,
that's never going to happen, I don't think. But
there are all three. I mean, the Parliament obviously is up every 5 years. Yeah. The County Council is up all at once every 4 years. A lot of councils are up all together every 4 years.
Yeah, because that could happen nationally, couldn't it? You could technically, every member of the current Parliament, whatever party, could all lose their posts.
Yeah.
And you'd have 300 new people.
If that happened every year, that would be unsustainable. But if it's every 4 to 5 years, and therefore there's the chance of the balance of power changing, I think that's fine. I mean, 4 or 5 years is a term, as an administrative term. You know, it's good enough for the President of the United States. It's good enough for, the UK Parliament. I think it should be good enough for Brentwood. You've hit on something really important. Funny enough, William Lloyd, who's the leader of Brentwood First, he suggested in council about 2 months ago that Brentwood Council should revert to what they call an all-up mechanism, whereby we're all up together every 4 years. And his reason for it is purely economic. Elections every year cost an absolute fortune.
I bet they do.
So if you pegged borough elections to, let's say, the county elections, so you had them at the same time, the cost, the economy of scale, I think he worked out it saves something like £300,000 over the term, which is money that then could be spent on the front line. So you probably know, in Brentwood First, we're all allowed to express our own views and disagree with each other, but William is absolutely dead right, spot on with this.
So what do they do on the continent? I'm sure they don't do that with this part-term business. I'm sure that it's all in and all out, all at one go, isn't it?
I don't know. I know in the States it tends to be, fixed terms. So you have, the president gets elected for 4 years in whatever year it is, and then you have the midterms, which are Congress.
It does seem madness, looking at it as an outsider, that you've got all these elections, and some of the elections you get a 20% turnout. And what did that cost to put on, if you have it just once every 4 years, then, we might get some more people coming along to vote here.
Yeah, I suppose the only danger is that, and I believe this is the case with the county council, is that once they get elected, then for the next 2 or 3 years, they take their foot off the gas. And I think it's no surprise that when the county council got re-elected last year, since then they've announced things like lollipop ladies being done away with in Brentwood, which is an utter outrage, by the way. Potholes obviously are being ignored. Streetlights have been turned off. So there is that downside. So as long as the electorate have, as I'm sure they have, a decent memory when it comes to the polls and can think back 2 or 3 years to some of the bad stuff these people did rather than all the nice campaigning fluffy stuff that, of course, they will do in the final year, then I think, notwithstanding that, I think, as I say, William's hit on an excellent idea and it will save the taxpayer a fortune.
OK, let's quickly go back to Brentwood South. There's a nice big red cross through David Bishop's picture now, and no longer standing, which leaves three candidates, but no Brentwood First candidate there.
No, we only only fielded four, so we're fielding Jo Squirrel in West Horndon. She's a local lady that is fighting against the 1,500 houses that the Conservatives propose in West Horndon. We're fielding Nigel Clark, who is the current councillor in Brentwood West, but he's got roots in South Weald, so he's standing there.
Sorry. Nigel Clark.
Yes.
So he's now standing for Brentwood First.
Yeah, he is, yeah. So he used to be
Conservative
counselor. And he moved with us in January 2013 to Brentwood First, So he's standing in South Weald. Ian Edmonds, who's a local guy that's been aghast at what's happened with William Hunter Way, or what hasn't happened with William Hunter Way, I should say, over the last 6 or 7 years. He's standing for us in Brentwood North. And then a fantastically able chap, really hard-working guy called Richard Brown in Hutton South that is pledging to stand up for local people and their planning applications rather than the current councillor, who seems to rather stand up for vested interests, party donors and developers, it seems. So we're only fielding four, yes. Quality, not quantity.
What's the word on turnout, do you think? Are candidates fairly upbeat? Do you think that there's going to be a reasonable turnout this time? Or?
I think it'll be decent because it's the European elections at the same time. I think a lot of people that are disenchanted with the Conservatives, and I think a lot of Conservatives are, will probably not come out and vote anything else. They won't all come out and vote Brentwood First and UKIP, unfortunately. But they will stay at home. So I think that will mitigate it. If you wanted me to guess, I think it would do well to get over 40, 45%. Turnout, I think.
Do we actually know what UKIP stands for, though, locally? We may know nationally, but do you know, have they got any sort of plans? Have they made any sort of documentation what they want to do locally?
No, that is a bit of a local political mystery, Mike, to be honest. No, I don't think they have much to say on things like William Hunter Way and potholes and so on.
Yeah.
So, no, I mean, they are very much a European party, and I think their whole push this May the 22nd will be about getting MEPs elected. I don't think they're as concerned about getting councillors elected. But I think they have a reasonable chance. I think actually in Doddinghurst, you know, Yvonne Maguire that stands there every single year, very popular. You know, she's you know, certainly very, very visible. I think she'll give Keith Parker a real run for his money, you know, particularly because of, you know, the people's perception of how the Conservatives are running the council right now. So I think we'll see some significant upsets in 15 days' time. Should be a very interesting evening. I understand you're hosting it.
I will be hosting it. Alan and I and Paul will be along. And, should be a good programme. And Steve on 22nd. I'm on stage that night. I've got to come straight off the stage, off the theatre, and straight here to run.
It will be worth it.
It was worth it last time. I love it. We went on to about 2-3 o'clock in the morning last time.
It's not every year that you can see political change, political balance change. I think it will happen. Obviously, if the Conservatives lose 3 seats, they're out of office. You know, for the first time in 10 years, it's actually technically 2 seats because, of course, one of the seats that they're certainly going to lose now is the Conservative seat they hold in Brentwood South, which David Bishop was going for. Which, of course, as you said, he won't now. So I suspect Labour will take that quite comfortably.
They can't replace him. They can't. It's not too late to replace him. We can't do that.
They can't. No. So once the nomination period, the 28 days before elections kicks in, that's it. Everything's sealed, so you can't even withdraw. I mean, there have been candidates in the past that have gone to the polls that have died, believe it or not, between that nomination
and have won.
And the election.
Somebody did it in America. The guy who died won in America. It was just unbelievable.
Well, maybe some people would say the only good politicians are dead politicians.
Well, yeah, we won't go that far. Absolutely. I think that the highlight of the when was it, 2012, was the Liberal candidate who won Shenfield, am I right?
They've won it twice. Graham Clark won it from the Conservatives.
But it was just
Cohen.
Total shock. When I asked him a question, I don't know, so I didn't expect to win.
That was a seat held by the Conservatives since 1886. They lost it in 2011, and then they lost another seat there in 2012. Yeah. And I think that's the slippery slope. That's when it started.
Okay, Russell, thank you very much indeed for coming in today. We'll see you again, no doubt, and definitely on May the 22nd.
Indeed. Look forward to it.
Thank you, my friend. Bye-bye.